AM 950, Air America, Minnesota. David Morris from New Rules.
New rules are made for talking, and that's just what we'll do. With David Morris on Sunday, we're gonna talk about new rules.
Oh, Nancy Sinatra, eat your heart out. David Morris, good morning. Welcome.
And good morning to you. You know, I was thinking we're going to be talking about health care, and you were just talking about the Mr. Doar and the school board election in which he wanted all schools to be private schools and to be Christian schools. And I was thinking that there is a segue into health care because the motto now is how you deal with health care in the United States, and the answer is that you pray fiercely that you don't get sick.
I should laugh, but it's not funny, is it?
No, it's not funny at all. It's a tragedy. There was just in the last week there was a survey of sort of customer satisfaction and comparing the different different healthcare systems in countries around the world, and the United States was near the bottom. In fact, was at the bottom in many things. We get to see doctors somewhat more quickly than universal health care systems, but we are less satisfied. They found out that our system makes more mistakes than other systems, more medical mistakes. There are more deaths because of the medical mistakes. I don't think it's because our doctors or nurses are incompetent. I think it's because they're overworked. Mm-hmm. And I also think that it's because there's an enormous amount of paperwork that we sort of flood the system, and therefore very important things get lost in the shuffle.
David, isn't that part of the American work environment now? I mean, so many places where you might eliminate a job and then you spread that work out among the people existing, so everybody's sort of overworked. It's kind of the American work model.
Well, it is the American work model.
But in healthcare, my God, it can kill you.
Well, in healthcare, you're talking about people who are on for 2 days in a row. And the nurses, this is a big issue in California where Arnold Schwarzenegger made his macho stand against nurses, and nurses went out on the street and said, hey, buddy, you want to try what we're doing here for a week or two? Bet you couldn't, because they're working, and, you know, God bless them. But what it means is that you tend to get mistakes. I mean, the studies that are done indicate that if you are sleepless for 24 hours, you have the same kind of impaired judgment as if you're driving drunk. Mm-hmm. And so you make mistakes.
That's very scary when we're talking about our health and our lives. I mean, how many cases have we heard of where lab results were mixed and person had the wrong surgery, or where somebody was administered the wrong drug or the wrong dosage of a medication?
It's exactly right. I mean, in Canada, for example, where they have a wonderful healthcare system, they have generalists, and they have nurses. They have fewer specialists. We have more per capita in the world by probably 100 times of people who can fix your nose and do cosmetic surgery and make your chin better and puff up your lips. But we have fewer GPs, that is general practitioners, than the rest of the world on our per capita basis.
Everybody wants to make money, huh?
Well, everybody wants to make money, exactly. But it's the GP that can solve 98% of your problem, and it's the GP that you really want to see when you have a problem immediately. The GP is the gatekeeper, and we have very few general practitioners.
Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about the Canadian healthcare system in particular, because that it seems as though the Canadian system is one that the right-wingers like to point to and tell us is a terrible system. People hate it. Doctors hate it. They're flooding to America to escape from it. And yet, from many people in Canada, we're not hearing that that's the case at all. Just the opposite. They actually named the person considered the father of the Canadian health system their favorite Canadian hero.
Yeah, you bet.
I mean, it's kind of bizarre to juxtapose what the right-wingers are telling us in America about the Canadian system and what apparently the Canadian people themselves think.
Yes, and what makes it even more astonishing is that the right-wingers can tell us something that we accept as fact when Canada is not on the other side of the world. It's right here. There was a man, what was his name, the senator from Massachusetts who was running for president in the 1980s, and he had brain cancer, and he was explaining that In Canada, he could not have been treated from that brain cancer. He would have died. And the Canadians very gently responded, Songus was his name.
Uh-huh.
And the Canadians very gently replied that actually the procedure for that was invented in Toronto. And in fact, Canadians get it free, as opposed to the $150,000 that he had to pay.
Oh, my gosh.
It's amazing how ignorant we can be about a country where, A, they speak our own language, and B, they're within driving distance.
So when we say stupid things like that, they can hear us, and they can answer back.
Yes.
Wow. Thomas Douglas, I couldn't think of his name, the father of Canadian healthcare.
Yes, and Tommy they call him, Douglas.
Tommy, and they did a poll of Canadians. They did a survey. Who is your favorite, most beloved Canadian? I mean, wouldn't you think it'd be some hockey player, toothless hockey player? No. Tommy Douglas, the father of Canadian healthcare, was voted overwhelmingly their favorite Canadian.
Yes, so. Indeed. And most Americans would say, well, Tommy Douglas, then he must have been the national leader. He must have been the head of Canada who made this happen. And actually, no. He was a provincial leader. He came out of the grassroots in the 1930s and was elected a premier of one small province, Saskatchewan, which even now has only half of the population of Minnesota, and then had about a third of the population of the Twin Cities. And he was the one that said, you know, this doesn't make sense, our healthcare system. And he began universal health care at the provincial level. Then other provinces began to imitate it in the 1950s, and it was only in the 1960s that Canada as a nation adopted it.
We'll continue our discussion with David Morris from newrules.org, a project of the Minneapolis-based Institute for Local Self-Reliance. The phones are open if you've got a question for David on health care issues, Canadian health care, and how we can hopefully overhaul our American health care system and start making it work. I think one out of three people in America has no health care coverage in Minnesota, one out of five. You can go out there and have a job and still not get health care coverage. And what can we do to fix the situation that we find ourselves in? Not AM 950, Air America, Minnesota, 823, The Wendy Wild Show, and David Morris from newrules.org, a project of the Minneapolis-based Institute for Local Self-Reliance, and studio talking healthcare. Before we get to any more points, we've got loaded phone lines, David, so why don't we take some calls here? Welcome up first, Steve in Minneapolis. Good morning, you're on AM 950, Steve.
Morning. I've been involved with universal health care here in Minneapolis with Twin Cities, with Kim Sullivan and John Colston and stuff. And I remember one time I brought up the fact that people who are uninsured, the ones that are uninsured still pay for health care because we have this employer-based system. And someone gently told me that, well, that's kind of a myth because only 35% of the people in the country anymore have health care through their employers. And, I thought, that's just something from the past. But then, cruising down 280 about 2 weeks later, I saw this wonderfully big billboard that's not there anymore that reminded everyone that 75% of jobs nowadays are created by small business. Which seemed to me to be more and more true. So only 35% of us work for big corporations anymore. And they're the only ones that can afford to do health care.
Well, and even they are having a hard time now, aren't they?
I know.
Well, what is your question, Steve?
That means that most of the products we use and take care of do tend to come or have some part from the major corporations, which means that the poor are definitely, the ones who aren't insured are still paying for the health care. Even Walmart, poor as their coverage is, manages to cover some of their people with health care, and you know darn well that it goes back to the consumers who are buying their products that are paying for that health care. So everyone in America is paying for health insurance. Problem is, a whole bunch of us aren't getting any.
Well, I think that's true. By the way, it's a little below 60% of people get their health care from their employers. Now we should be careful about this when you say getting your health care from your employers. As everybody knows, your employer is paying less and less of the premium. You're paying more and more, and the health care system is getting stripped down, so you don't get dental, you don't get this, you don't get that, and so forth. So, you're getting health care, but it isn't what somebody in Canada or someone in Germany or someone in England would actually call health care. The second is, in terms of the uninsured paying, they are paying in a way that that people have just discovered in the last year, which is that the uninsured, people who don't have insurance, are actually paying more for their medical care. That is when they can afford it. They're charged more because the insurance companies drive a pretty hard bargain with the hospitals. I mean, you may not think so, but nevertheless, they do get a discount on there. So the uninsured are the ones that the hospitals make their profit from if the uninsured can pay. It's really an upside-down world in the United States. And in terms of corporations, you know, corporations are now becoming increasingly uncompetitive because they do pay health care, even if they pay a part of it or only a part of it. It's very expensive. Healthcare costs have tripled in the last 6 years in the United States. And so you've had, for example, General Motors, who is shifting its production, guess where, to Canada. Because in Canada, they don't have to pay that as part of the cost of the car. So you would think that the largest corporations in the country would form a coalition for a Canadian style, a German style, a British style.
It would help them.
Yes, it would help them. And you would think that they would. And it's really, it's I don't know what it is, because it doesn't seem to be for their self-interest, except if you begin to think that these are not American corporations anymore. They're global corporations. And to them, it really doesn't matter where they produce. And I think that that's sort of obscene thing when you think that they were created. They are, at least legally, incorporated in the United States of America. But the only reason I can think that they are not leading coalitions for universal health care is that to them it doesn't really matter whether they
do
their production elsewhere.
They'll just move their factory to Canada or wherever they can get.
That's right. That's right.
American
jobs are not important to them. Profits are important to them. And I think it's a commentary on our time.
Well, and then don't we take it to next step and say our political leaders are failing us as well?
Well, our political leaders are, you know, at this point it's a joke. And unfortunately it started in the mid-1990s when we had that seminal moment in American history in 1994 where Bill Clinton said national health insurance is in fact, you know, the most important thing on the agenda. In fact, we forget, there was a political earthquake because a senator won in Pennsylvania just on the health care program. And he it was an uphill battle, was an underdog, and he won in 1992, and suddenly people realized that American public, you know, and this was 1992, it's much worse now. So the Clintons said, we'll have a national health insurance program, but it will not be universal health care. And they eliminated that. Now, Paul Wellstone fought vigorously for universal health care, but overall, Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton, who people should remember, led the health care program. So it was not Bill Clinton's program, it was Hillary Clinton's
program. The right-wing media attack on her and really them for the health care initiative. I mean, I listened to Rush Limbaugh back in those days. It was venomous.
Yes, it was venomous. It was venomous, but when you looked at their health care program, what they wanted is what we now have. What they wanted is what the conservatives now support, which is 400 insurance companies, health management, health maintenance organizations, everybody in sort of these large plans with very, very large companies, that is health insurance companies. That's what they wanted. They lost, but they actually got it. And that's what we have in 2005. Remember that. It's appalling.
Can't choose your own doctors. It's still incredibly expensive. The copays, my copay has doubled.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in the last couple of years.
When you think about the politicians and their lack of leadership, you think about Governor Pawlenty, and we should talk
in a few minutes about
how on the state level we have a lack of leadership.
David Morris from newrules.org and more calls.
Sure.
All righty, and I want to take the next person in line, and that would be Robert in Minneapolis. Good morning, Robert. You're on the Wendy Wild Show.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
Great. Welcome. David Morris is in studio with us, too.
I think in order to fix the healthcare system in America, we've absolutely beyond everything is we have to get the government out of it, and we've got to remove the third party pay. People, when you go to the doctor because you have a cold or sniffle, you should pay for it. Anything that the government is involved in, the cost goes through the roof and most people aren't happy with it. Anything that they stay out of, the cost goes down and it just keeps getting better and better. You look at the cost of LASIK eye surgery 5 years ago, it was $5,000. Now it's one-tenth of that, and the machines are on their third generation of getting better and better. Yet insurance and the government doesn't cover LASIK eye surgery. They don't cover cosmetic surgery either, and that keeps getting cheaper.
Let David Morris respond.
Yeah, I think a couple of things, Robert, is that you might want to look at some of the sort of empirical evidence, if you will, because you know this is a country that prides itself on hating government. And that's just fine. We also usually hate the weather, and sometimes we hate our parents, and we often hate our in-laws. But it does seem to me that we should, at some point, you know, look at the evidence. The Medicare program, which covers, I think, 40 million Americans, has an overhead of 2%. That means 2% of your the dollar you pay on Medicare goes for paperwork, if you will, administration. In the private insurance sector, about 20% goes for overhead, and there's even a little bit more than that, so call it 20-25% that goes for overhead plus the profits, because obviously Medicare is a nonprofit agency. So you're having, you know, an enormous amount of overhead in the private sector. The second thing that happens is that because we have 400 insurance companies, or what you would call, I think, the free marketplace in insurance, you have an enormous burden on hospitals, on doctors, on nurses, on individual patients to fill out the forms related to the insurance company. Plus, you then often have to call up the insurance company to get permission to do a procedure, so you're reducing the autonomy of the doctors. There's a horrendous cost that comes with the private sector. In Canada, the health insurance system is not, the health system is not run by government. It's not a public system. It's a private system. But what government does is it's a single payer. It's a single insurance company. And so you get one card, and you go in and you show them your card, and that's it for the paperwork. So you have a, you know, an enormous reduction in overhead costs. But the government, this is the federal government in Ottawa, does not tell you what to do, does not tell the doctors what to do. It doesn't tell them what they have to do aside from some very basic, what you might almost call sort of Bill of Rights, which is that somebody in Saskatchewan has to treat somebody who's a resident of Ontario. That's called portability. That makes sense. And if you happen to be asking for medical care and you have a pre-existing condition, they have to treat you as well. So those are the basic things. But each province actually establishes what you get for health care. And finally, Robert, in terms of cosmetic surgery and the like, it's true in some ways that the difference between Canada and the United States, in part, is that they have a universal health care budget. They do not permit the private sector to compete with the public sector with health insurance. They do allow the private sector to come in and give you cosmetic surgery and other things like that. But otherwise, they have a universal budget, and a universal budget has to be allocated in certain ways. And so you actually have a marvelous dynamic that occurs in Canada where the government, that is at the provincial and the federal level, come down with a budget. And then the medical establishment fights it out as to who gets that budget. So the cardiologists say, we need it for heart surgery, and the ophthalmologists say, we need it for eye testing, and the prenatal care people say, we need it for prenatal care screening and the like. And so they have to fight it out. The United States has no universal health care budget, I mean, which leads us to an enormous deficit in this country. And so everybody spends and spends and spends and spends. But the bottom line here is that the United States health care system, if you look at it in terms of morbidity or mortality, is no better, and some would argue is worse. For example, the United States very much at the bottom internationally in terms of our infant mortality rates and the like, and so we really do have a serious problem. So I understand your feeling that when the government is involved in something, you know, there's a problem. Now, one final point, final point, is that you said we should remove this sort of third party, you know,
pay. And every person pays they go.
And every person pays as they go, or pays something as they go. And that is, you know, very much a conservative philosophy, that if I have to pay for something, then I'm much more judicious in the way that I use it. I'm much more frugal. And that certainly makes a lot of sense, except that Medicare is a little different. There aren't a whole bunch of people that really want to go to a doctor. There really aren't. There are not a whole bunch of people who like shots. There are not a whole bunch of people who like to get naked in front of people. And so going to a doctor is not what, what most people would say.
I'd rather go for dinner than I would go to the doctor.
Exactly.
Most people would rather
have their hair done. And so that's not something that you would tend to choose to do, but you would choose not to do it if you had to pay for it. Now,
but David, let me ask you a question. You know, pay as you go. If you had no insurance at all, no government nor private, what if one person gets liver disease and the next person doesn't, and you don't have the money for liver disease, that's a little different than you have a fever and you go to the doctor because you have a cold.
Right, but I think that Robert, in all fairness, was not talking about you had to pay, the full cost of surgery. I think he was talking about going to a doctor for a cold.
Oh, I see.
In terms of copays.
I thought he meant getting away with all insurance.
I believe that. But if you look at the statistics on the number of visits, doctor visits per year, you find out that the number of doctor visits per year in Canada is no more. Let me repeat that. Is no more. Now, that's free health care, is no more than the number of doctor visits in the United States.
AM 950, Air America, Minnesota. Election day. Vote, and vote often. That's a joke. The Wendy Wilde Show, David Morris in studio with us. You can only vote one time, okay? All those right-wingers are going, see, I told you they cheat. I told you they cheat. No, no, no. You can only vote once. David's already got his I voted sticker on.
Yes, I do. I'm a citizen.
Of Halloween, we went to the Patriots Bowl. I was thinking of the ultimate patriot dressing as a giant I voted sticker, but maybe
that
next year.
That is a patriot.
I voted.
Even better, I informed myself and I voted.
You informed? Oh, you knew who you were voting for. I always hate the ones that they call them the bottom of the ballot. It's like the names. It's like, look at this closer.
The Board of Estimate. What exactly is that?
Can I estimate what it is? Debbie in Orono, good morning. You're on AM 950 Air America, Minnesota.
Morning, Wendy. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Debbie.
We love your show, Wendy, and thanks for the telling us about the Orono school thing. I live out here, so that was a great piece of information last week. I spread it around. But I did call to give an anecdote that I think David would appreciate, and I'd love his comments. I work at a major retailer at Ridgedale Mall, and I have a gal that works for us part-time. I'm full-time, and she came in, a gal that goes to school at a North Minneapolis High School, I think it is, and she fell downstairs at her house, and she's from a poor family. And I was just shocked. As a white mother with two kids, I'm going, well, why didn't you go to the doctor? She hadn't been in for 2 days. And she had sprained her foot crawling down the stairs, missed a step. And because it was just a matter of fact for her and her family, because it would have cost them money to go to the emergency room since they